Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center with a question for you. If you had to had an opportunity for one do-over in your life as a result of looking back and regretting a decision or a time or a season or a year or whatever, what would it be and why? And why are we talking about this on a very positive looking to the forward program? Well, we'll tell you all about it here. Come on in. What's a do-over in your life? 888-888-1717.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. We're at the phones ready for you at 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Let me encourage you right here at the beginning of the program to do something for yourself, okay? Because all of us can probably think of a day, a decision, a year, a relationship, whatever, that we look back and say, oops, that was dumb. You know, that was a mistake. And you wish you could do it over. The purpose of the program today is to help each of us to think more intentionally, to pray more intentionally, and not shoot ourselves in the foot. Now, and we all make mistakes, and we all have decisions we regret, and there's, you know, life is life, but sometimes they're avoidable. Sometimes it's the stupid things that we do to shoot ourselves in the foot, as I said. So I want you to do something for yourself. I want you to come to our Facebook. And we have, I don't know, 25 or 30 and growing people, number of people who are just telling us, here's what I did, and here's what I learned, and here's what I do differently. And go read them. Just read them. And if nothing else, open your heart to say, wow, what can I learn from these folks that are sharing their hearts with us? Okay, you can just go to Facebook/intentionalliving or come to our website, theintentionallife.com. And you can get Facebook there. Now, let me start with a baseline. I'm not about living in the past. We can't undo the past. We can't change the past. God doesn't want us to live in the past. The past could be good or bad, but that's not the place we should be living. It's like the rearview mirror on the car. We take a glance at it from time to time to see what's behind us, but we keep our eyes focused out the big windshield, the big picture of the future. And even the Apostle Paul gives us a biblical foundation for keeping focused on the future. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So, yes, we need to stop and reflect. We need to stop and consider. We need to learn from the past, but ultimately we need to move forward. So the overarching message of this half hour is let's just stop for these 30 minutes and reflect on the past so we can learn about the value of making decisions moving forward, okay? So a regret, what have you learned? How God has healed maybe through that process and where are you going? I'll read some of those Facebook comments as well in a moment. 888-888-1717.
My name is Ray Mullins, pastor of Apache Junction. My testimony is a little wild and crazy. I accepted the Lord when I was 19. I had a run-in with the pastor about 7 months later. I walked away from the Lord for 30 years, going to prison, all kinds of things that the Lord had planned for my life. At 48 years old, the Lord called me to a 30-day walk that started in downtown Mesa, Arizona, and ended in Billerica, Massachusetts. After my walk, I finally realized the part missing in my life was I never knew who I was in Christ Jesus. Finding that link has turned my life around. And I was 48 at the time, and I am now pushing 60 in September. And I have a wonderful small church with a bunch of young guys that are really sold out for Jesus. I just praise God for all he's done in my life, and I live every minute of every day for the Lord now.
Good for you. Hey, listen, thanks for sharing that. I was just talking to my wife, Donna, who's in the building today, and she was reminding me that I need to remind you all that we have something pretty special at our website for you, absolutely free of charge. We put a lot of effort and time into creating a four-part video teaching, and they're short because I know life is very easily distractible, isn't it? And so each of the sessions is about 8 minutes, and it's all about your next one thing, developing an intentional goal and acting on it for the next 30 days. And the lessons talk about goal setting, about obstacles in our lives, and about finishing strong, how to develop godly habits. And it's just there for you. Go to theintentionallife.com, and you'll see the one thing banner up on the top there. It's for you. Okay, you ready? Let's go. Let's find out regrets and what we're learning here. Julia is in New Mexico. Hi there.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. I'm fantastic. What about you? What have you learned? What did you regret that you're learning from?
Okay, I'm going to tell you really quick. I became a mother in the eighth grade. I got pregnant with my son, Julian, when I was 13 years old. And I had him when I was 14. I'm 32 years old right now, and he's going to be 19 this year. And I had a second child at the age of 17, and I've had two kids since I was 18 years old. And it's not really a regret. Like I told Brother Steve, it's something that got held back with my education. I don't have a degree. But the thing is that I have a powerful testimony that you don't have to regret having your kids young. You don't have to regret not going 100% in education. That God, it's so amazing because my testimony is my children. You can be in the eighth grade and have a child, and still God will use you to confound those who think they're wise in their upbringing and their raising. Dr. Randy, I used to pray and ask God to teach me how to raise my sons, and he would tell me to go in there and anoint them and prophesy over them, and they will not be statistics. And so it's not a regret, but I wish I can go back and get a degree. And now that I'm 32, both of my sons, by the time they're graduated, I'll be 36 years old.
Wow.
And I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to do my business idea that God has put inside of me.
Well, good for you. Hey, and I'm sure you don't recommend eighth graders having babies, but...
No, I do not. But I don't recommend them aborting them either.
Absolutely. That's right. And God bless you for doing that. God bless you for raising it. Good for you. You'll be 36.
Thank you.
And... how many moms? 36, and you can go back to school and be a young grandma, that's for sure. Okay, thank you, Julia, for your story and your passion. Good things can come out of bad decisions. Judy, Judy's on the line. Thank you for your call. Judy, what's your question or comment?
Well, I just wanted to share. My husband and I were in ministry. We got into some stuff that was sinful, and as a result, we both had affairs. We are no longer in ministry, and so now we are going through a divorce. So that is my story. So I'm in the regret phase, I suppose.
You're right in it right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before I comment on that, Judy, you look back on it now. What was going on in your own mind and heart that caused you to do that? You must have known... hey, I shouldn't be doing this. This isn't right. This doesn't honor God, but I did it anyway. What was going on in your own life?
It was a joint decision. I think we just had a moment of weakness, overwhelmed in ministry, and looked for a different avenue instead of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, Judy, here's the good news. The good news is God is a God of forgiveness and a God of reconciliation. And what Satan means for evil, God can mean for good in your life. It's not that there's not a scar, and the scar could be that you're going to be out of ministry for a season, or maybe, I look at it this way, we're always in ministry, but in, quote, professional ministry, as you go through a time of healing, a season of accountability, making sure that God really does something in your life, in your husband's life, and the two of you, individually, even divorced, can really rebuild your lives, and who knows, rebuild that marriage. I mean, I'm an optimist when it comes to what God can do and does do in people's lives. But here's what I'd recommend. One thing, because there's a lot of things I could comment on. One thing, Judy, you need to do. You need to bring around you two or three godly women who love God, who are mature, who are not there, who are going to just hear the sad story and say, too bad, but are going to challenge you and hold you accountable, and they're going to help you through this process of being restored in your life, restored in your spiritual health and in your mind and your heart, so you can look back in months and years down the road and say, that was the best decision I made, is to get people in my life that I can be accountable to. Will you do that?
Yes, thank you.
All right, let me pray for you. Lord, I do pray for Judy. She represents probably many people today who are just at the point of regret, at the bottom of the pit, and looking up. And the good news is you're a God that pulls people out of the pits, restores lives, encourages hearts, reconciles, and you're a healing God. And I pray you'll do that for Judy and for others who are listening today. No matter where we are in that cycle, we know that you're with us. Thank you for doing that. In Christ's name.
Hi, my name is Michelle. Wanted to say I'm not exactly sure what my purpose in life is, but I believe it's to glorify God and to give Him praise, and I try to do that every day in whatever situation He has given me for that day. But I'm visually impaired, totally blind, in fact, and have been so since birth because I was born 3 months early. My family really doesn't participate in any faith, and it wasn't until I was in college that I got saved and gave my life to God, and ever since then, He has been doing just amazing things. For one, I believe He has healed me from being bipolar. He's allowed me to be healthy and stable for the past 8 years. And He has also blessed me with a church family, and I love them, and I'm able to stay in touch with a couple of them. And anyway, have a great day.
Isn't that nice? Hey, listen, thank you for sharing that. Hey, the stories keep flowing in here, and we do our best to keep up with all of your stories as you share them with us at 888-888-1717. Valerie is in New Mexico. Hi, Valerie.
How are you?
Good. Thank you. Appreciate your call. What about a do-over or a regret in your life as you look to the future?
Well, basically, what I was saying is that I wish that I had understood what it meant to have a Christian, a biblical marriage, and raise your children that way when I was younger. I'm 60 now, and my children are grown. In the last 5 years, though, I got into a wonderful church and really started to understand what it meant to be a mature Christian. And I remember growing up hearing there's no instruction book for raising children or being a wife, and my goodness, there is. Mm-hmm. And even if you find out later in life, it's amazing because you get the healing, and when you look back, yeah, it's there are regrets, but you know you're forgiven, and that's just an amazing gift.
Well, Valerie, there are people listening today who are just living in that valley of regret. They look back in their teen years or marriage years, and they went through some difficult things and made some stupid choices, frankly, and they know it. But they get stuck, and they don't look to the future. And I think we have to, like you say, Valerie, we all got stuff back there. There's always something. It could be little thing or big thing. But if we stay stuck there, we allow Satan to win the battle at that point, as opposed to accepting the forgiveness and moving forward with a great deal of intentionality in our lives. And it sounds like that's something you've chosen to do and not stay back there.
I have, and I just want to encourage other people to forgive yourself, because I think we can accept that God forgives us, but a lot of times we have trouble forgiving ourselves, and that keeps you stuck, because he's willing to be there and do everything for you, but you've got to forgive yourself as well.
Mm, very good. Great reminder. Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on here. Georgia's on the line. Hi, Georgia.
Hi.
Hi there. You live in Georgia.
I sure do.
Georgia from Georgia. Yeah.
I know. Ironic.
All right.
Yeah,
we're talking regrets. What's the regret? What have you learned?
Biggest regret I've had was growing up as a teenage girl. My identity became about what I looked like and, I guess, what I could offer to guys. Mm. And so just having, it became who I was became about the next guy and how he viewed me and how I saw myself. And that became my self-worth growing up. What I have learned from that is, well, you know, as a teenage girl, you don't realize the damage you're doing to your mind while that's going on. You don't know the ramifications and how that's going to color your marriage one day. And so there's a lot of things I'm having to undo in my mind now as a married woman. You know, worried about how my husband views me or that sort of thing. Having to learn now that my identity is in Christ and how he sees me, and that his love is everlasting and it's eternal and he's faithful and and it's not in what I look like. So that's what I don't say that I've learned, but I'm learning.
Well, there's some young woman listening somewhere, Georgia, that I hope listens to what you said, because I know those teen years and when our identity is being formed in relationships, it's so easy to get caught up in trying to, you know, be external in terms of being accepted by others. And I hope there's some young woman listening saying, hey, you know, my identity is in Christ. It's an internal thing. It starts with me and my values and relationship with Christ.
But
the good news for you, Georgia, is you're moving along. You've learned, and it sounds like you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's a daily decision, to be honest with you, a daily decision. And if I don't stay in the Word, if I don't stay growing and staying close to God, is when Satan brings all those lies back up in my head that I have to push away. I have to choose to push away. So I just have a burden for the young teenage girls out there that I watch, and I watch them. They desire that attention from the guy, and they desire that, and they feel like that gives them worth in who they are, and it's so backwards, and they just don't know the damage that they're doing to their mind. They're going to regret it one day.
Hopefully one young woman listening gets it, or guy. Remember the scripture, Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, right, admirable, praiseworthy, of good report, think on such things. Focus on the truth, and that makes a difference in your life. Can you admit when you're wrong? You know, in marriage, that's critical. If you can't, I have a tip for you today.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, our intentional counselor and coach.
You know, when we admit that we're wrong, what we're telling our spouse is that I love you so much, I'm willing to humble myself. So, you know, sometimes we got to just kind of buck it up and be tough in saying, I was wrong, will you forgive me? And be specific on what you did or said or ignored that you take responsibility for. There's something about building intimacy in our marriage when we stand before our spouse humbly, taking responsibility for who we are. That's a great intentional tip for making your marriage better. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt, and it's very true what you just said, and welcome back to the program. Today, we're focusing on the rearview mirror for just this half hour, looking into the past. What are some regrets from the past? Please don't go back there and stay stuck. I'm not trying to discourage you. As I said earlier in the program, the Apostle Paul gives us the beautiful picture where he says in Philippians 3, forgetting what is behind, straining forward to what it lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So at the end of the program, I want you to take whatever the past we've talked about, give it to God. He's a forgiving God, 1 John 1:9. And let's get at the big picture of the future, okay? Learning from the past so we can move to the future. Karen's on the line in New Mexico. Welcome to the program, Karen.
Hi, Randy.
Appreciate your call. As we look in the rearview mirror, what's the regret?
I regret that I had an abortion in 2009. My husband and I weren't following God at the time. I had a pregnancy where the baby was severely deformed. It was called an omphalocele, where all the organs are outside of the body. Mm. And my husband and I were having, we're really struggling in our marriage. I had just recently, well, not too recently, but 2.5 years earlier, found out that my husband was addicted to porn, and I just didn't feel like I had his support, and I didn't have anybody. The other thing that happened was after the abortion, it was just such a horrible thing to go through that I told my husband to have a vasectomy because I didn't ever want to risk having to go through that again. And also, out of spite, because I knew where our marriage was, and I didn't want him to eventually leave me and go have children with somebody else. So that was my regret. But now, since then...
Yes, that's what I wanted to hear, the since then. Go ahead.
Since then is the good part. Yeah. Since then, the end of 2010, I couldn't take it anymore, and I went back to church. I had been out of church since I was in high school. I was sexually abused as a child. So anyway, God led me to a Christian church. I had never read the Bible before, and I started reading the Bible, and I found God, and I found truth. And since then, we've been on a long journey, my husband and I, healing from a lot of pain from our past. Last year, in fact, we almost went through a divorce. We were separated for 8 weeks. I called your station and talked to somebody there who prayed for me. I've had lots of people praying for me in my marriage, but God has redeemed our marriage, and right now we're headed in the right direction. And I think that I can safely say that I'm not going to get divorced in any time in the future. And I think that we can have the marriage that God wants us to have.
Mm. Well, good for you, Karen, and God bless you on your journey. And as you've looked into the past and seen regrets, to know that God is a God of healing, a God of forgiveness, a God of reconciliation, and a God of moving forward. And I appreciate you sharing your story. And God is a God of reconciliation, a God of forgiveness. And my message here has been for from year after year, get into God's Word, be in a place where the Bible is being taught in its complete authority. Be in a place where you can understand that His Word is not silent on the issues of your life that matter, and that God wants and cares for you personally. So thank you, Karen. I appreciate you sharing with us. Let me see. Do I have time to get Scott on? Let's get Scott from Michigan on the line here with a comment. Scott, welcome to the program.
God bless you, Dr. Randy.
Well, thank Thank you. Thank you. What have you learned? What's your regret as you look back in the past?
Well, my biggest regret is not accepting Jesus until a few years ago and really surrendering to His power, His love, and forgiveness.
Hmm. How old were you when you turned your life over to Him, Scott?
40 years old. I'm going to 44 right now.
What brought you to that point?
Well, over the years, a lot of mental, physical, sexual abuse by my own family, active involvement in the satanic occult. And a good friend of mine years ago, when I used to go to Peacemakers down in Detroit, I was all covered in satanic makeup, satanic paraphernalia. And he just walked up to me with no fear. Young man, if you don't change your ways, surrender your life to Christ, you're going to hell. And something back in 2000 just clicked in my mind. And it's like, it stayed there. It was like a seed planted. And all, even though coming in and out of jail, in and out of jail, but this time I finally grabbed a hold of God through the Bible, through a good Christian Bible-believing church, and now I really don't have any regrets.
Mm-hmm. And that's the ultimate message, isn't it? And our prayer, Scott, would be that God would grant His forgiveness and healthy reconciliation and restoration of your life, that the future would not be representative of the past, and that you would find joy in following Him. Today, okay, we've looked in the rearview mirror. Enough of that, right? Because here's the deal. You keep your focus in the rearview mirror too long, what happens? the guy in front of you plow into, right? And so we take a quick glance just to learn, get a perspective, and then get back focusing on the future. And of course, that's very biblical. You can read it for yourself in Philippians 3:13.
Hey, Randy. Just kind of a comment and a question. My wife and I learned that our fighting, when we yelled at one another, that affected our kids. And the question I have is, how can we go back and help them to realize that the way mom and dad did things was not right? They're both out of the home now. One's at college, one's living on his own. And we see the effects of the way we fought with one another in front of them. And we are Christians. We're just looking for the right way to make things better. My name is Tom. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, listen, I hear the discouragement, like, hey, I blew it. Now I see the problems in my kids, and you're going to blame yourself. And blame creates guilt. Guilt creates inaction or overreaction. And I think wise parents, when we learn, listen, sometimes we don't learn until we get older. Sometimes we don't learn until we look in the rearview mirror of life. There's a point you just fess up to it. I think you could tell your sons, look, you know, when you guys were at home, mom and I, boy, we just blew it. We were too much in each other's face and arguing, and we've learned to grow up some. And I just want you to know, we apologize. We're sorry we did that. We know it's impacting you. It's not a way of living. And we just encourage you to see that that's not what you want to replicate in your own life. There's a better way of doing it. And then live it out intentionally. That's a key. All right, past regrets. You know, it's easy for us to get trapped with past regrets. I think Satan loves it because we blame ourselves. We talk into our own ears, right? That's why when I was mentioning Paul on past programs, we talk about the Apostle Paul saying, forgetting those things which are behind. It's interesting. He was not only forgetting the things that he did right, he was also saying, hey, I've got to forget the things that I did wrong because Satan will use those against me in my life. And I then turn my attention forward and press toward the goal of the prize. So I encourage you to do that. Love your feedback on what you've heard today on intentional living at 888-888-1717. When you're there, if you press number 4, you can also talk to one of our staff if it's during their regular business hours on the West Coast. And join us as a member on this journey. And when you do, by the way, when you become a new member of Intentional Living, we're going to send you our best-selling family book called Raising Responsible Adults, along with the study guide. And these two resources are encouraging you or someone you know on parenting, intentional parenting. Again, just go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call 888-888-1717. Next time, Raising Boys by Design with our friend Dr. Greg Jantz. See you then.